The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 5th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, boy. Joining me on the phone this morning will be Susan Lamont, longtime peace activist, and she will be giving us some information on a special showing of the film, Where Olive Trees Weep, No One Is Free Until All Are Free. This film documents a trip to the West Bank in 2022 when Dr. Gabor Maté did trauma healing work with a group of women who were tortured in Israeli prisons. This is an important film for people to see. It's an important film because people know about these events and what was the motivation behind them. Also joining me on the phone this morning, and I am truly honored to talk with her, is my guest, Diana Carpenter Madoshi. She organizes Women's History Month programs to educate the community about women's history and achievements. She's an advocate and activist. Diana serves on nonprofit boards like the League of Women Voters in her county. A loving mother, grandmother, she encourages her family to plant seeds for future generations. Boy, I can really relate to that. Wow, what a week this has been. Ken visited his family. We were not on last week and attended his wedding of his nephew, Aaron Norton, to Amanda. And we wish them a long, happy, and joyous marriage. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful young people. Kamala Harris is now the presumptive candidate for President of the United States. A shout out for President Joe Biden for putting country first and stepping down to allow this historic nomination. I'm not able to support a candidate on the air, but I do have an opinion, and it's simple. Ever since the beginning of our great country, men have been in control, and it's about time that women were given the opportunity to serve in that position. And I believe Harris is not perfect. No one is perfect. However, she has the skills that need to be considered. Time for women to gather, support her, and loudly, loudly make, keep her feet to the fire. I admire her courage to be running at this very, very intense time in our country, particularly for women. A shout out. I agree with Harris. We will never go back. We will never go back and lose all the rights we have. And you know something, talking about women gathering, it is very, very important that we recognize that the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter, is hosting. We are hosting the California Conference. It's going to be happening at the Church of the Roses in Santa Rosa. And if you go to www.nowsonomacounty.org, it'll give you all the information. You have to sign up, and then they will be sending you information on how to get onto the Zoom. And also, if you go on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces.com, you also can find out that information. So much going on in the world, you know. Condolences to the family of Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. On July 19, 2024, she made her transition. She was an American lawyer and politician who was the U.S. representative for Texas's 18th Congressional District from 1995 until her death here in 2024. The district includes most of Central Houston. She was a proud member of the Democratic Party and served as a member of the Houston City Council before being elected to the House. She was also co-dean of Texas's congressional delegation. She, in my mind, was not only both beautiful on the outside, but she was beautiful on the inside. And she was fearless as she spoke out against racism and injustice. I admired her and believe she was one of the women who we have been waiting for. Condolences to her family. I love Sheila. I used to love to listen to her. I loved looking at her. I loved the way she had her hair braided, and a tremendous loss to our country for sure. Well, for this segment, joining on the phone is my dear friend and committed activist and writer, Susan Lamont. Welcome, Susan. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you very much, Elaine.
Well, it's a beautiful day today here in Sonoma County, and I have you on the phone here because there's a special film happening in here in Santa Rosa. And before you do that, just talk a little bit about how you got involved with this film and what the title is, what's it about, and why do you believe it's important for folks to attend.
Okay. Well, I guess the word just kind of went out, and I saw that this thing was happening, you know, saw it on Facebook, saw it, got some emails about it, and I wasn't able to attend the showing they had in Sebastopol, and I decided we needed a showing in Santa Rosa. So that's how I got involved, and that's why it's happening here. It's Where Olive Trees Weep. And the directors describe it, the directors who happen to live in Sebastopol, describe it as a searing window into the struggles and resilience of the Palestinian people under Israeli occupation. It was intended to document a trip to the West Bank in 2022 when Dr. Gabar Mate did some trauma healing work with a group of women who were tortured in Israeli prisons. And I'll comment that the UN has just come out with a report describing the regularity of torture in Israeli prisons, torture of Palestinians. There's a slight focus in change of focus in the movie. Since its original intent, there were a lot of women who were interviewed, and after Israel started its genocidal attack, it was decided it was not safe to broadcast most of the interviews of these women. It would make them unsafe and they'd be retaliated against. But there are two women who did insist upon having themselves remain in the movie, and
two brave women.
Yes. One is a Palestinian journalist and therapist, Ashira Darwish. And she has actually left Palestine, and she is now living in, at least temporarily, in Sebastopol. And the other is Ahed Tamimi, who is a young activist who stood up to the IDF forces quite a few years ago and is now called the Lioness of Palestine. But she's still there, and she's been arrested again and released, and her father's been arrested, and I think he's still in jail. So they are in the movie. But one of the reasons for focusing on this movie at this particular time is it gives you very, very clear evidence that what is happening now did not start in Gaza, and it did not start on October 7th, 2023. That if you actually learn the history, it goes that violence and these, what we're seeing now, lots of targeted assassinations, those began in the 1920s. Zionists were committing assassinations back then.
We know it's so. You know, what's so interesting about the film and hearing about Dr. Mate, you know, that he was actually a Zionist at one time. And when he went to visit Palestine, he actually saw that, hey, wait a minute, this is not the way to go. And so it's an amazing turnabout. And I really, really, really want to encourage our listeners that, you know, to go on YouTube. They've got some wonderful, wonderful interviews with Dr. Mate that I think that'll really enlighten you and really get you to understand more about the conflict and more about how he's helping and how he believes about this institutional trauma that's happening all around the world. So I just wanted to throw that in because I'm definitely a fan of his. Well, Susan, you know, I know.
Yeah, I would say that people should specifically look for the interview that was done with him and his two sons.
Oh, I know.
Because they do get very into their initial Zionist leanings, and they talk about being Jews and what it means and how important it is to them and how important it still is to them. And it really makes it very clear how those two things can be very separate.
Well, also,
whereas Israel's conflating them.
Well, also, when I look at the title and I think about the trees and the weeping trees, you know, I have to go back, you know, to 1948 with my own family, you know, how they sent money to plant those trees, to protect those olive trees particularly. So it's really a really sad situation. Well, you know, we only have a limited time, Susan, and there's so much we could go through. And first of all, I want to publicly thank you for doing this, you know, that you saw something, you wanted to see it, you knew it was important, and you went ahead and organized it, and I'm so happy that I can support it for you. So tell us what time it's happening, the place it's happening, is it a free event that costs money, and also your website, how they can get a hold of you, and if they have any questions or any last words that you would like to share with our listeners.
Okay, it is tonight. And
tonight, August 5th?
Yes,
oh, okay.
Tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the doors open at 6 and the program starts at 6:30. It's at the Christ Church United Methodist, which is 1717 Yalupa in Santa Rosa. Unfortunately, we discovered last night that the ticketing site is not accepting orders for tickets.
Oh, boy.
So we're saying, go the old-fashioned way. Just show up.
I like that. Go the old-fashioned way. Just
right.
Show up.
Right. Now, you can also view the program on Zoom. And the best way to get that link is to go to the Peace and Justice Center's website, and the information about this showing is on the very front, very first page.
What is their website? Do you know?
So it is pjcsoco.org. So just pjcsoco.org. Or if you Google Peace and Justice Center, Sonoma County, you'll get it too.
And that's where they'll get the Zoom information?
And that's where the Zoom information is. And I've just been told that when you link to the Zoom, it has you being able to go in at 5:30. And I'm about to contact the church and say that doesn't make sense because nothing's happening at 5:30. You know, the actual program doesn't start until 6:30. One of the directors will be there, Zaya Bonasso. And she'll be there to answer questions. And we certainly hope people will come. It's a very valuable and moving presentation. There's, you know, some violence in it, but it's mostly people talking about their experiences. So it just gives you important information about what is happening and what has been happening for a very long time.
Well, Susan, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such a great activist and bringing this forward to the folks. And also, all the information will be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. Thank you so much for doing this. And
okay.
And
thank
I'm
you
glad
for letting me report on it.
but one last thing. So there, it is also going to be, you can come in person and give the address one more time.
It's 1717 Yalupa Avenue in Santa Rosa.
And then if they go on the Peace and Justice at pjcsoco.org, then they can find all the information on the Zoom.
Right. It's right on the very first page.
Well, thank you, Susan. Thank you so much for all that you do and for all
the donations will be going to four different, they'll be divided among four different nonprofits that benefit people in Gaza and Palestine.
So people can't, so it is a free event, but they make donations or?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on, and thank you so much for doing
all
that.
Right. Thank you.
Wow.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Wow, so much going on in our community. You know, there is no excuse for people not getting involved. Well, you know, we do this segment, Our History is Our Strength, every Monday morning. And you know what? And right now, there's so much history being made, especially that we have a woman, a potential that we're going to be having a woman that's going to be running for president that actually has a chance of winning. It's just amazing. And you know, when we start thinking about that, we have to start thinking about the shoulders that she's standing on and what it took for us to get to the place that we are right now. You know, there's positive forces and there's negative forces. And right now there's kind of it feels like there's like a light brown over everything, you know, or some sort of cloud over everything that just, you know, making things not so secure, so to speak. And so there's kind of, we really all have to become involved and we really have to start thinking about things that are happening. And one of the things that I believe is most important is to get yourself educated. That's why seeing films like this film that's going on here in in Sebastopol, where the olive trees weep, it's such an important event that is happening that we have to understand it so we can speak out and we can understand what we're speaking for or against. I think that's very important. And for as far as history goes, we've had tremendous amount of history made this month. You know, on August 6, 1965, you know, one of the things that happened with the women's movement, there was a big division between the white women and the black women because for some reason at the time we were getting the right to vote, there was all kinds of issues around black men getting the vote. And if they got the vote, then the black women shouldn't get the vote, and on and on and on and on. Well, guess what? In August 16th, 1965, which took us all over 100 years, the Voting Rights Act outlaws the discriminatory literacy test that had been used to prevent African Americans from voting, and suffrage is finally extended to the African American woman. So that's 1965 when they finally got the right to vote, black women got the right to vote, and that was, 25 years when we originally got the vote. So what a struggle. You know, and when you look at what the power of black women and what they have done for the country, you know, I just need to do a shout out to all of them. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be an African American woman. I just can't imagine it. I mean, I'm a white woman. I was born, I believe, into privilege. I didn't have half the struggles many of these women have. And I want to do a shout out because you have come a long way, ladies. And I am proud to announce this. And in 1965, all I can say, it was about time that these women got the vote. Well, another important thing happened, too, is on August 8, 1969, Executive Order 1478, issued by President Nixon, oh my God, he finally did something good, requires each federal department and agency to establish and maintain an affirmative action program of equal employment opportunity for civilian employees and applicants. What a legislation that was. And when you look at it today, it feels like we're going backwards because they've cut a lot of these civil rights, a lot of these voting rights for people. I don't know. It's just stunning. I have to scratch my head and say, what the hell's going on? And there's two important women that I want to honor today, and that's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She was sworn in as the second woman and 107th justice to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. What an amazing woman she was. I only have one fault with her. You know, I wish she would have retired a little bit sooner so they could have gotten another progressive like her on the Supreme Court. But she did an amazing job, and she did an amazing job for women. She stood up. You know, when you think of the rights that we have and the privileges that we have, you know, we are standing on the shoulders of some pretty powerful women that took some amazing risk and that had the courage to stand up and to be heard. And that's why I think it's so important that women gather today against all this stuff that's going on, particularly the wars, you know, and then all of a sudden you hear about this 2025 bill or whatever it is from the Heritage Foundation that they want to make the they want to give the embryo the same rights as any human being. At the same time, they're going to cut children's lunches in the school. I mean, it's crazy. It really is. It is crazy. Well, another person that I just love when I think of her. I remember when I first saw the movie Iron-Jawed Angel, and I became familiar with Inez Mullard-Bossevin. When she stood and she rode that white horse in the protest that the women's rights movement was doing, that the suffrage movement was doing at that time, it was just amazing. And she, unfortunately, she died in 1916. She had tuberculosis, and it was really sad. So she was a lawyer and a suffrage leader, and she gowned a white horse, riding that white horse in the parade, in the suffrage parade in Washington, D.C. during Woodrow Wilson's inauguration. And it was very, very interesting when you start thinking about it. And what's so exciting about this is that my second guest, like I said, is going to be a woman by the name of Diane Moshe. And what she's doing is on October 5th, they are going to try to replicate when all the suffragettes stood in front of the White House during when World War I broke out. And then they all got arrested. They were sent to jail. They were waterboarded. I mean, it was, oh my goodness, Alice Paul almost died in jail. What happened? And here we are. We're going to have this event. I'm going to be talking to Diane Moshe about this. But just think about, when you think about women like Inez Mullard, Bossevin, these are the women whose shoulders we are standing on. You know, when you hear folks like Susan Lamont, who's an activist in the community, if it wasn't for people like Inez, she couldn't even be an activist. You know, they were told the women go home and shut up. You know, even in the churches, the women were told to be silent. I mean, I don't understand it. We give birth to life. We have the secret of the universe in our body. Why are we treated this way? I don't understand it. I mean, here we have a presidential vice president that gets on the air and says that women who don't have children are the problem in our country. You know, one of the things I have to laugh. I love this. When he said this, he mentioned that these women who don't have children, you know, and there's a lot of women who don't have children. You know, a lot of activists, Alice Paul, who made such an impact on all of us. She never had children. She was too busy trying to get women's rights. But what's so funny was when J.D. Vance said about these women who don't have children, all they do is take care of cats. I can't believe all this stuff that's come out around cats. In fact, if you remember the Rosie the Riveter poster, you know, you had the woman with the scarf on and, you know, holding her, like making a muscle, like we're going to go forward. Well, I could not find it. I found a cat. Someone had posted a cat and made it into that kind of poster. And I tell you something, I said to myself, you know, it's pretty hard what's going on, but thank God for the humor. If we didn't have the humor, if we didn't have the way that we approach it, you know, we would be in deep trouble. Well, that's a lot for history. That's a lot for history. You know, and it's important that we know our history. Our history is our strength. When we know what's gone before us, it gives us courage. I know for me, when I think of Inez and I get on the air, it gives me a lot of confidence. It gives me a lot of courage. Well, we're going to take a musical break now. And when we come back, like I said, we're going to be talking to Diane Carpenter Moshe. She's an organizer for Women's History Month program. And she is the founder and the organizer for this amazing event that's going to be taking place on October 5th. Let me read you a little bit about it. They're asking you to join a coalition of women and men who on October 5th will hold purple nonpartisan signs that simply say vote to remind everyone to embrace the precious right to have a voice in our democratic society. And then they're, like I said, they're going to line up in front of the White House for a few hours and have their signs up there. And that supposedly, when we talked to Diane, they are trying to encourage women from all over the country to set up things on that date. But she'll go into it a little bit more. So we have the perfect song, of course. And the perfect song is My Vote, My Voice, sung by Kathleen Bernard. And when we're finished with the song, we will be happy to be talking with Diane Carpenter Moshe. Let's go ahead, Ken.
every day, every week, every month or year. This fact is perfectly clear. My vote, my vote.
I love that. My vote is my choice. My vote gives me a voice. That is beautiful. My vote is my choice. My vote is my voice. That's a great mantra. Well, for you just joining us, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holst. And joining me on the phone is Diana Carpenter-Medoshi. Welcome, Diana. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. I am so jazzed up about being here, and I love your introductory song, My Vote is My Choice.
And my vote is my choice. My vote is my voice. We won't go back. My vote is my voice. My vote is my choice. I love that. Well, listen, before we start, I want to tell folks just a little bit about you. Is that okay, Diana?
Sure.
Diana Carpenter-Medoshi earned a Bachelor of Science in Nursing from Sacramento State University and retired after more than 30 years in the field. For over 20 years, she has volunteered as an event coordinator for nonprofits focusing on women's issues. Passionate about women's suffrage history, she is inspired by undervalued community leaders and her mentor, who we're going to talk about during the interview, women's rights activist Carol Norberg. Together, they co-chaired Women's Equality Day parades to honor the sacrifices that created women's rights. Known as a Go Person, Diana co-founded and co-chaired the 2011 California Women's Suffrage Centennial Committee, promoting events statewide. She organizes Women's History Month programs to educate community about women's history and achievements. An advocate and activist, Diana serves on nonprofit boards like the League of Women Voters in her county. And this I love because I can relate to you, Diana, a loving mother and grandmother. And P.S., I'm a great grandmother. She encourages her family to plant seeds. I love this, to plant seeds for future generations. What a resume. And, I mean, I cut it down. I mean, it was just amazing. Is there anything you'd like to add, Diana?
No, except that I would say that it's all ongoing. I encourage people. I am 78, and I don't get into ageism. I feel that as long as we can breathe, as long as we have our senses about it, and we can take joy in being able to be involved, because the seeds we plant do sprout, and you never know what effect it will bring to someone else's life.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because people ask me, well, how many listeners do you have? And I says, you know, in a way, I really don't know. I have some sort of idea. But in my mind, if one woman changes her mind about things, I've done my job. That's how I feel. It's one on one. But I'm back to my vote, my vote, my choice, my voice. I love that. Well, to begin with, Donna, you have such a long history of being involved in the women's movement, along with a passion for knowing women's history. You know, I always do women's history, you know, and what's so interesting is today we're just, it's Inez Melgro's birthday. I mean, here we are talking about the vote, and it's her birthday, and also it's also August 6th is when actually black women actually got the right to vote. Amazing. It took, what, 25 years after everybody else got the vote? But talk about how you first got involved, and what were some of the challenges that you, I mean, here you are a nurse and now you're an activist. You know, what were some of your challenges that you met, and why was this so important to you?
Well, I would say one of the challenges that I ended up doing an early retirement through, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And one of the things that when you hit a change in your life, things, you start looking at things. Everything is sort of out of focus. But I am very blessed, I feel, and fortunate that the women in my life, and one in particular, she became my godmother, Carol Norberg, and the godfather, Mark Norberg. They helped me and remind me that I was not defined by a diagnosis, and that I still had a voice. a voice to be able to be involved, and they nurtured that voice. And so those were the challenges that I faced, and also the in wanting to, like my grandmother, who long ago, who was responsible for me coming to California, having a restart as a single mom, and encouraging me to be involved in the community. Those things that happened along the way were some of the things that I met. And the challenges a lot of times are internal challenges for women. When your voice has been muted and your voice is like your voice, you people hear you, but they do not always listen to what you're saying. And that is some of the challenges that other women have, too, is being valued, their voice being valued. And the challenge is that don't let that stop you. And that has been, I would say, not a mantra, but a guiding principle for me, is not letting my voice be muted or and demanding the respect.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. You know, in Women's Spaces, the last Monday of the month, we do a pledge called the Women's Spaces Pledge. In fact, we're having a California conference here in for a national organization for women here in Sonoma County, and I'm going to be blessed to be opening the conference with the pledge. And it's, my self-esteem did not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power, however you see that. And it's an idea, to exactly what you say, to not allow your voice. I like that word you use. Do not allow anybody to mute your voice. You know, I think that's a very powerful statement, Diana. It really is. Well, you know, I'm interested. Who was Carol Norberg? I mean, what was her philosophy, and what was she involved with?
I met Carol Norberg around 2000, during the time of the, you know, the presidential election that really caused the change in our country, I believe. And I wanted to get out and be involved, but I had health challenges. And Carol more or less said, no, it's not all about you. She's the type of person that she was a firebrand. That's her word. She was very passionate about women's reproductive rights. And she would drag me to, not literally drag me, but encourage me to be with her when we go to the demonstrations, like for Planned Parenthood, to stand up for women's reproductive rights, that it is your body, it is your choice. But she was very kind and just took to me like a mother. And we had a very wonderful relationship. We did in Sacramento. We did a Women's Equality Day parade, and it was the first time I've ever did anything like that. We saw the film Iron Jawed Angels. Carol promoted that at one of our women's meetings.
You know, I promote that film too. I try to show it at least once every other year. So I think it's mm-hmm. In fact, I actually got permission, as long as I don't charge money, to be able to show that film wherever I want. So I think that's very well. So go ahead, continue.
And so when we saw the film, I'd never seen the film before, and there was a lot in the film that I never knew of. Which is typical, you know, about historical things happening for women.
Well, especially about Ida B. Wells. Oh, that's what.
Oh, yes.
That's when
oh,
I first. Yes. That's when I actually, through Iron Jawed Angels, was when I first met Ida B. Wells, and she became a hero to me.
Well, I knew of her, but I did not know as a black woman. I heard of white suffragists, but not of other black suffragists. You know, there's a lot of goes back to our history that's not taught in schools and not in the books. And if you have not been exposed to all of that or any of that, you don't know. Well, anyway, we saw the film. I said, we should have a parade. I don't know why I said it. I just said, we should have a parade. And here we are in Rockland and Roseville. Carol lived in Roseville. And so Carol said, where are we going to have the parade? I said, Sacramento. And then I forgot about it, and I said, oh, that's not something we can't do. Carol called me a couple of days later and said, when are we going to get started? I said, what? Now, the thing is, we had no money. Absolutely no money, and neither one of us ever organized a parade before.
Oh, God.
But one thing Carol knew is that she knew people. And so she arranged for us to meet the president of NOW, Kim at that time, Kim Salter, and we wanted to turn it over to her. And she said, you're the ones that are passionate about it. You two should co-chair the parade. And that's how we became involved organizing that parade, that we had about 500 women, some men that showed up from different parts of California for that parade. And I met Molly McGregor, who was with the National Women's History Project at that time, which later became the National Women's History Alliance.
And also that they were responsible that we have a whole month of Women's History Month.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, we're having the California conference here in Sonoma County August 10th.
Yes, because your history is deep. That's where it all started. Like they said in Hamilton, in the room where it happens, Sonoma is where it happened, where it started. So basically, her continued to be supportive. Her and her husband had a foundation. Small foundation, Doris Foster Foundation, for Carol's beloved late sister, and she would donate money, and they just encouraged me to be involved.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a woman by the name of Susan Lamont on before here, and she's kind of like that to me. We go back and forth, but you know, when you have that strong woman who's really determined, who opens the way for so many things, it's amazing how it helps you with your own courage. Well, right now, Diana, let's take a quick musical break. I'm going to play a song. It's called The Times They Are A-Changing. They Are Changing, sung by the Brothers and Sisters, which is wonderful. And when we come back, let's focus on the event that you are planning for October 5th that we'll be able to talk about. That is another one of the great things that you've organized. I think this is the third time you've done this. And let's talk about this and see if we can encourage our listeners to participate here in Sonoma County. So let's go ahead, Ken. We're going to take a musical break now, folks, and we are going to listen to the song, The Times They Are Changing, sung by the Brothers and Sisters. And when we come back, I will continue. And I'm so excited about this conversation with Diana Carpenter Mondoshi. For this segment, we will be talking later. For the next segment, we're going to be talking about the program that she's organizing called Get Out the Vote event that is happening on October 5th. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play The Times Are Changing.
Accept it.
the times, they are a-changing. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm talking with Diana Carpenter-Madoshi, who is one of the founders and organizers of this special action that is happening in Washington, D.C. to get out the vote. Welcome back, Diana. And before I ask you these first questions, I want to tell you a story, okay? A quick story?
Okay.
Okay, Molly Murphy McGregor and I went to school together. We were in the same class in 1973 to 1975. And we're walking to class one day, and I was wearing combat boots at the time. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, we can have freedom, you know. And Ann Neal was our teacher, was such a mentor. I mean, it was so exciting. So we're walking to class, and Molly starts telling me that J.J. Wilson and Karen Anderson were going to be writing this book about women artists. And I looked at Molly. I says, are there women artists?
Oh, wow.
So we have come a long way, baby. I mean, you know, and then all of a sudden the whole thing with the whole movement and we're going to Washington. I mean, we need to do a big shout out for Molly. And also for my listeners to let you know that Molly Murphy McGregor will be presenting at the California Conference for the National Organization for Women here in Sonoma County on August. I don't know why I'm in, you're in October, but this is August the 10th. And my brain gets hung up sometimes on certain things. So let's continue our conversation. You know, you're asking folks, you know, I got this beautiful flyer. I just love this flyer. You know, and what I like about the flyer is it's so comprehensive. It's got so much good information on it. And you say on the flyer, it says you're asking people to join a coalition of women and men who on October 5th will hold purple and nonpartisan signs that simply say vote to remind everyone to embrace the precious right to have a voice in our democratic society. Talk about that. Talk about how you got involved in that, why you think this is important, and what is this all about?
Well, we are a couple of my cohorts, Muffy Frank and the former mayor of Sacramento, Heather Fargo. We had met just before the 2020 election, and we had talked about they knew about my interest in history and wanted to do some type of voting event, and I suggested doing what we call a silent sentinel event. And this event that I was proposing was something similar but different from the activities, and these I would call the valiant activities of 1917, the Silent Sentinels, and these were women suffragists who picket the White House for women's right to vote, and over 2,000 women. They silently picketed outside the White House gates for the right to vote, and this drama unfolded during wartime, World War I. Many of the women were arrested and sent to jail, where they suffered greatly. Some historians believe this unique direct action campaign helped turn the tide to support for women's suffrages from President Wilson, the president at the time, members of Congress, and the public. Well, in 2020... about 150 of us and several men in the greater Sacramento area used the inspiration of the courageous suffragists to promote the vote. We gathered on street corners in various neighborhoods, dressed in purple, white, and gold colors, and we silently held the sign that simply said vote.
Carol, can I ask you a question here?
Sure.
What did that feel? What did that feel like for a black woman to be doing that? Because here we find out it took 25 years before you were even able to vote. What did that feel like when you were standing up doing that?
Well, I'm going to put it this way. That's the history is sort of a hodgepodge. In my journey of women's history, I have found it depended on where you were in some circumstances. Black women that were able to vote after the 19th Amendment. You have to remember, after the 19th Amendment passed, and especially in the South, laws was implemented to discourage black women as well as black men. Laws was implemented to keep them from voting. The right to vote was there, but them things, different voter suppression things, literacy tests, threats against your life, all of those things were in play. But until we had the 1965, you know, Voting Act, that created some changes that we were able to deal with those voter suppression things like poll tax and literacy tax. But as a black woman, going back to my feelings and being involved with this, I felt empowered. Ida B. Wells stepped out during the time when people were they wanted to do, and they did. And you have to, and the other thing too that some people don't realize, that while we had white women organizing, we had black women in their women clubs organizing
and supporting the white women
and supporting. I mean, there are some women that even when they picketed around the White House, there were a few black women that were involved in that demonstration also, including Mary Churchill Terrell.
Well, you know, one of the things about the film that I loved more than anything in the world, because it really brought a consciousness to me when Alice Paul wanted Ida B. Wells to walk in the back of the line. And she said, no, I'm not walking in the back of the line. I mean, she didn't walk in the back. She actually walked in the front, which I thought was amazing.
She joined her delegate. She wanted to, Ida B. wanted to be with her delegation from Illinois.
Right.
And she did. She joined that delegation, and of course there were others, some of the sorority women that did participate, and yes, they were in the back. But Ida B. Wells, the firebrand that she was, she did not. But going back to what about why? There was something really about when we proposed the idea of doing this, is that it gave average people an opportunity to participate, not just giving money to donate for a candidate or anything, but just to do something simple to show their support of their basic right to vote. And by doing it nonpartisan and encouragement, that discouraged any people from heckling as opposed to one candidate or another candidate. But it brought it home on the, I would say, the most elementary level, our right to vote. We held the sign, we held those signs up, and we just were quiet in our process of doing it, like the women did before.
Well, you know, it's also interesting when you talk about the vote, because for years and years and years, you know, they said, oh, your vote doesn't count. Well, you know something, Diane? We are coming very quickly to the end of our segment here. I can't believe I looked at the clock. So what results do you want to happen from October 5th? You know, what action, and how can people participate in this? I mean, what can they do? How can other organizations or other people who are interested in something like this? Some can fly to, I know you're going to do a major one in Washington, D.C., in front of the White House. How can they get a hold of you? How can they participate? What can they do in their own counties?
They can organize, decide to do it, and they can, what we did in 2020 and 2022, we, a group of people that were invested in doing this, and what the outcome, and going back to the outcome we want to increase voter participation. I mean, in California, there are about 4 million eligible voters that didn't vote in 2020. 2023.
You're kidding.
I mean, we had over 26 million people, and then only so many people, you know, that were eligible to vote, and only so many people voted. But But I say to me, what's with the other people? And this election is an election, I'm so emotional about this. This election, pundits, everybody are concerned about this upcoming November 2024 election, because many people believe this election could possibly decide the fate of our democracy. And that is something very serious. And again, going back to what you played, that song, your vote is your choice, your vote is your voice. And we want people to stand up with this activity, organize in their area to help increase voters' participation, because democracy is not a spectator sport. Participation is required, and each vote mattered. And Elaine, most people do realize that when the 19th Amendment that was passed to get for women to get the right to vote, it was ratified and passed by one vote.
I know, my God, one vote.
And there have been other incidents where one vote or several votes have made a difference. And for any of the people that want to continue to be involved with our own democracy and be able to have a voice with any changes or what we want to occur from anything from our school board to our assemblies, our state legislators, to our presidential candidates in Congress.
Diana, I need you to give us your website and how they get a hold of you.
Okay, there is no website. I think there is an email address, and
What is your email? How can people give us your email address, and we will put that on. We'll put that on Women's Spaces.
Okay, I have no problem with my email address.
Go ahead.
They can. I'm gonna give my personal email address, and that's okay. Diana, D-I-A-N-A dot Madoshi, 1945, at iCloud.com. On the flyer, Elaine, that you have before you, because I had it in front of me.
Okay, I have it right here. For more information, call silentcentennial.october5th@gmail.com. And what I'm going to do is all this, the flyer, along with all the website and all the information, will be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. So not to worry, we'll get all that information
out. Fantastic.
Well, Diana.
And did you put the video too up?
Yep.
On your website?
We don't have a video. It's just audio.
Oh, okay.
But
when
we get it on the website, I will let you know. Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Diana. I want to know, it has just been an absolute honor talking with you, and I suddenly realized that I talked several times to Carol Norberg. I mean, all of a sudden, my memory
mm-hmm.
when I first started and I became an activist, I want to thank mm-hmm. you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you so much for what you're doing, and I love it. My vote is my choice. My vote is my voice, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Elaine. It was an honor to be here.
Oh, ditto. Same here. Well, folks, that's it for our show. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And like I do at the end of every show, to remind you, our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. And please go to www.womenspaces.com. Check out about this action that's happening October 5th. We have all the information on about the California conference here happening in Sonoma County. I am so excited. You know, your voice is your vote is your choice. Your vote is your voice, and we will never, never, never go back. Again, this is Elaine B. Holt, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. And don't be afraid to stand up and speak out. So much is on the line. So much is on the line. I look forward to being with you the next time.
She can wait. Because a woman in your life, she's you. Because a woman in your life, I love. as you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 5th, 2024.